Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's run, baby.
Okay, so it's running commentary, and you can hear the voice of Ed Gamble. Welcome.
Hello, Rob.
And you can't hear the voice of Paul Tonkinson. He was going to be here this morning, but he's ill. He's ill in bed.
Oh, poor Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he was really gutted because he's trying to get his marathon training all geared up. But you got to get ill. You got to get ill, haven't you?
Is he doing the London Marathon again?
Well, we're doing the Manchester Marathon, which is 3 weeks ahead of the London Marathon.
Oh, boy.
And then, yes, we're doing the London Marathon.
Oh, you two. You two are crazy.
Yeah, we're a little bit. We're at a very bitten off more than we can chew stage.
Are you recording them again?
We're going to run as fast as we can in Manchester. Look at this brilliant
dog.
There
was a dog there, by the way. I'm not just...
No.
I don't just say hello every few minutes.
That was a great dog, though. It was like a Snowy from Tintin, but black.
Yeah,
with sprinting in a little high-vis tabard.
High-vis, like a little builder dog.
But welcome. Good to, luckily, you're here. Otherwise, this would be a really dull week.
Hey, look, I think that would be having a breakdown if you were running around by yourself and recording it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like a Richard Herring podcast.
That's the funny thing about this. Comedians do that from time to time, they don't know. Someone started one the other day, the Me Talking to Myself podcast.
Yeah, I do.
Comedy and therapy is a fine line.
To be honest, I think quite often talking to a comedian is like them talking to themselves anyway.
We had some old family friends over yesterday, and I sang, there was some kind of reference to some performance related thing, and I said, the comedians in the dressing room at the weekend were talking about reviewers at the Edinburgh Festival. My old friend said, comedians are talking about the Edinburgh Festival themselves. That's unusual. I have to say, it really undermined my story at an early stage. So, it's nice to finally, at least two of us are out, because we tried to do this before Christmas and you weren't well.
I was ill.
Yeah, you're all better now, right?
I'm all better. I'm fighting fit.
And we did take a few months off trying to sort it out, but we were going to do this around last year's marathon.
Yeah.
And are you doing London?
No, sir.
Have you got anything lined up like that?
No. I've done the London Marathon twice.
Yeah.
With a year break in between. So I might do it the year after.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Sort of did it twice and then felt,
yeah.
I've done that now.
Well, nice to do it once and then do it again using your experience. I mean, how did it play out? Tell me about the first one first. How did you get into it?
So I sort of got into it. Well, I was running for a little bit, but I think we have similar running backstories.
Uh-huh.
In that we both used to be little fat boys.
Yeah.
And then, I think you end up being a little bit overweight because you're sort of addicted to food.
Yeah.
You've got an addictive personality. And that actually clicks quite well into running, I think.
Yeah, right.
You can really get yourself into it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got into it and I was living in a nice area of London where I could run by the Thames for as long as I wanted.
Very nice.
So, yeah, I mean, just like pushing it and you sort of surprise yourself on how far you can run. And that's like the ultimate, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's the other side of it, isn't it? When you come from thinking of yourself as basically a repository for cake.
Yeah.
That when you find that your body can actually do this.
Yeah.
You kind of never tire of being amazed, really.
Yeah. So that's, I thought, you know, I'll do it once. But then you think, well, I could just do it again, couldn't I?
Yeah, that's right.
Why not?
And you fundraised.
fundraised for JDRF, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Fund.
Good.
Who are a wonderful charity, because I myself am type 1 diabetic.
Yep.
So, you know, I get the money eventually.
Yeah.
So why not?
So it's not in the slightest bit altruistic.
Yeah.
I remember the EGDF, which is the Gamble Diabetes Fund. And does being diabetic tie in with the running and stuff? Do you have to be careful with the
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of an added pain in the arse, I would describe it as.
Yeah.
But once your body gets used to it, it's sort of okay. But it just means, you know, eating right beforehand.
Yeah.
Making sure you're across your blood sugar levels throughout the marathon, so checking them regularly, and probably hammering down a lot more Lucozade Sport.
Yeah.
And like gel sweets. And
well, I mean, not that I know, but it feels like it might be, the silver lining is that you're basically forced to take care of yourself in the way that everyone ought to be doing anyway.
Exactly, yeah. I'm a lot more sort of, the reaction my body has to unhealthier things is quicker and more evident.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sort of more in touch with my body, I think, so to speak.
Yeah, well, like so to speak or so to sing, because that sounds like a pop record to me.
Yeah.
Touch of my body. Yeah. Yeah. Although generally those aren't about diabetes.
They're like wanking and stuff, right?
Oh, you went all the way there. By the way, we are running along an old, I don't know, maybe it's an old railway, but it's a fantastic, slightly raised cycleway, right-away thing on Walthamstow Marshes on a fantastic January morning.
See, this is lovely because, you know, I'm sort of an East End boy now.
Yeah.
After having, I don't know, you can tell I used to live in South West London.
I was going to say, I think you're a couple of steps away from being an East End boy still.
So I've migrated here.
Yeah, and you live near here, don't you? So I run here quite often.
The scourge of gentrification.
Yeah, that's you.
Yes, hello.
I run for the S of G. That's the scourge of gentrification, where we raise money for mortgages in Walthamstow and surrounds.
But I'd not found a good route. I've not really investigated, so I've not really run outside for a few months.
And this is great. This is there's a riding centre on our left, but on the right, particularly when it's dry, there's all different paths zigzagging across the marshes. And then there's an excellent track along this side of the river, canal, and then there's one along the other side as well. And once you get past the Lee Bridge Road, you get Hackney Marshes and Millfields.
So amazing.
I'm showing you wonders.
I've got no excuse now.
No, exactly. And it's starting to, well, it's very cold now, but, you know, spring's coming. Although you're not doing a marathon, but that's the other thing is I want to, it's good timing because a lot of people are.
Yeah.
And various marathons, you know, the season's just kicking in. And so you're the first one, because it's nice also, I think, again, similar path, you kind of think, well, now I'm running, I can do something useful with it.
Yeah.
But it's a different kind of running, isn't it, going training to just getting out there?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I did the Royal Parks half first.
Yeah.
Which was great and felt...
Because that's the East End boys one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oi! You know, the boys.
Royal Parks!
I did that first and then thought, you know, why not? Why not double it?
Yep.
And I enjoyed the first time I did the marathon, but was very focused on the time, and also the last 2 miles had the worst cramp I've ever had in my life.
That was the really hot marathon, wasn't it? Really sunny.
No, I think it was the year before. Okay. I missed the hot one.
That's good.
Which I was very happy about.
Where was your cramp?
All up my legs.
Ah, oh, dear.
All the way up my legs, and it was horrendous. So it sort of spoilt the end for me.
Yeah, and it was right at the end, just as you sort of came in.
I was very happy with the time. And then
what was the time?
3:39.
Good. Oh, yeah.
But then the second one, I had less time in training because I was on tour. So it was more difficult to train. But I enjoyed it more because I was so desperate to not get cramp. I sort of took it slower and was kinder to myself.
Yeah.
And did it in 3:54, so I still got under 4.
Yes.
But just loved it.
Yeah, basically more the marathon your body wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly. My body was still screaming at me, of course. But it was brilliant.
And faster than us. I mean, we were podcasting, but I think that was tough for... Tough for Speedy Paul.
Well, you weren't that far behind me, I seem to remember.
No, we forced it in under 4, despite the fact that we were basically cruising and chatting.
Yeah.
But then that's the first time he'd ever really done it, not doing it as fast as he possibly could.
Yeah.
And the time before, he did it under three, so
it must have been frustrating.
Yeah, but I think that once we did it and recognised what it was and how much fun it was, to do it a completely different way was brilliant, but you've got to get used to the idea, you know. I think it's part of good running is to factor in that thing of you go as fast as you can, but also, like, even at a sort of higher level, you've got an internal running Yoda says, yeah, but I can run slower than that, and it'll still be good running.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a little bit kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit kind of Instagram-y or sort of real life to think, I can just do it faster and faster.
Yeah, and also, you're just not taking anything in.
Yeah.
It's not a memory then, is it?
No. That's right, particularly if, as you say, it leads directly to pain.
Yeah.
Which is, apart from being a horrible thing, it's claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Stops you.
So this time, you know, I sort of made the mistake of having my headphones in for too much of it, I think.
Yeah.
But this time I sort of, 23 miles in, they ran out of battery, which was actually quite helpful. And then I took my headphones out and was like, oh, it's much better.
Yeah, yeah, here's everyone.
I was trying
to strike a balance there. And did have the one where my headphones broke.
Yeah.
And I threw them into the sidelines and heard someone go, oh! So, sorry about that. I was trying to throw it over everyone. I don't think I quite understood how thick those crowds are. So if you were... what's your big tip, you know, for someone training for their first London Marathon right now?
Well, I think make sure you stick to your plan.
Yeah.
And it is hard, but to your best of your ability, stick to your plan, because you'll just feel better about it then.
Yeah.
Then you won't worry about it. That's what I'm like anyway. If I get given a schedule and I stick to it, then I feel like I've done the right thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also don't beat the crap out of yourself if you miss something.
It's got to be a little bit elastic, isn't it? It's like, I think that I've been running loads of miles every week, but I've got a little bit of a... I've got quite a bad injury. My leg's hurting a lot right now.
Oh, good. I'm glad the podcast that I'm on is the one that's going to screw you over.
Yeah, that's right. How are you... are you fit enough to give piggybacks at the moment?
I'm pretty strong, man. I've been working on my strength.
That's going to work well. You were saying that you've been training, but not outside. You've been in the gym.
Been in the gym.
Yeah.
I've never... things. I've been like larger, and then I've been skinnier, and like had good cardio for the last sort of 5 years. But I've never had strength or any muscles. So I thought, why not try and get strong?
Right.
Why not try and get strong for at least a year before I'm 40?
That's very good. So what do you do then? Is it weights?
A lot of weights.
Yeah.
A lot of weights. Also, I'm getting married at the end of April.
Right, and you're getting married in, as I understand it, in a really snug pair of Speedos.
Exactly, and I've already bought my marriage body oil. So.
And do you, Ed Gamble? You smell delicious, by the way. I'm picturing you leaning on a motorbike. Who is that rap star who just put out a picture of himself leaning oiled up on a motorbike?
Was it Kanye?
It might have been.
That's so good.
You really should do that.
Yeah.
And what have you got planned? Is it all planned? Is it all set? How long away did you say it was?
April.
Nice. Yes.
It's pretty much all planned. I've got to get my suit sorted out.
Yeah.
But I've warned the tailor that I'll probably have muscles by the time we...
Just leave a bit of space around the pecs.
So now I've been doing a lot on the... I've always hated the treadmill, but then I kind of got obsessed with running 5K and 10K as fast as I could.
Yeah, right.
On the treadmill, which I sort of regret now, because now we're doing this, I remember how much I love running outside.
Do you ever do parkrun?
I've never done a parkrun.
We always go on about parkrun, but on the other hand, this is the scene of my kind of home parkrun. Hackney Marsh is going left.
Oh, so there's one up here, is there?
Yeah, this is actually kind of the apex of it. You start, see that brown building down there?
Yeah.
You start there, run to here, and over there, and then back again. And then there's a little additional bit to make it long enough.
How many people do it?
Oh, hundreds. Maybe between 300 and 600 people, depending on what it is.
Now, I've heard rumours that everyone bumps into each other and it's like quite aggressive at the front.
No, I don't think so. That hasn't been my experience, and I do tend to...
Because you're the one smashing into people, right?
Yeah, because I'm that guy. No, I think people are... You know, it's true that it's up at the... there's always going to be a risk of that because everyone's jockeying for position and running as fast as they can.
Yeah.
But I think compared to like old school running and every man for himself cross country, it's a bit more... Well, one, there's always a kind of stated intent that no matter how fast people are doing it, kind of against themselves and even pacing off against each other for position, ultimately, it's not a race. It's a run.
Sure.
And the people who are racing in it are just running as fast as they can in it, you know what I mean? And even though that's a bit of a grey area, I do think it affects the socials of the thing. And so right at the beginning... In the shakedown, everyone kind of jockeys into position, but there's no malice in it. And it's not physical. I don't think I've ever physically bumped into anyone else.
Oh, that's good. Maybe I'll come and do it then.
And then when you come back, because it turns back on itself, and there's loads of people, I mean, people from all walks of life and all abilities, people walking and stuff.
Yeah.
People with kids. So when you come back, you're going in the opposite way to them. And you do, and that's when you really bump. You know, you go straight in.
Take out a few
get
kids.
Your shoulders down. I always wear American football gear. The key thing here, which the listeners have heard a lot about, is there's a few people who do it with running pushchairs.
Yeah,
and
wow.
At least one of them is incredibly fast. And, you know, I could be running my fastest park run, and then there's basically a toddler comes floating past ahead of a guy who's beating me by 3 minutes easy whilst pushing.
They're just kids with, like, their faces pulled back by jeans.
That's right. Looking like Roger Moore in Moonraker. Just rippling back. So, but you should... And the other thing about this one is it's all flat. So...
Yeah.
There's one to do instead of a treadmill. You know, and it's quite a neat house. All's I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably a good idea. Yeah. What sort of time do you get for 5K?
Well, the...
Because I am a steady runner.
Yeah. Well, what time do you do at the gym for 5K?
I've been doing 10Ks. I've got to remember that. I can't remember now.
So you 10K on the treadmill at the gym as fast as you can?
Well,
I mean, at a good pace.
Yeah, so I do 10K in 49 minutes on the treadmill.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
So probably like 23 minutes, 5K.
That's what I was thinking. You know, you want to happily come in under 25 minutes, which is, you know, that's a proper running park run. Proper running. I was trying to say it in a reasonable democratic way, unlike the all the non... But it is, you know, there's plenty of people striving to hit that. And, you know, there's people at the park running everything between 15 and 55 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So but I look Cormac's down there trying to wings.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I never know how treadmill translates to real life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well, if Paul's here, he's like, oh, yes, he's not running at all. You're just jumping up and down, which I think is slightly...
Because the thing about the treadmill is I probably run at all right times because... I can't stop. Yeah. Whereas here, I'm in control of the ground.
Yeah, that's true. But the nice thing about a park run is the fact that everyone's running has a very similar effect.
Yeah.
I know you can actually stop, but it feels like quite a bold decision.
Yeah.
And then you really would get bumped into.
Yeah. Stop for a lie down.
I was here in the summer on the hottest day, and there was people here on both sides of the river in swimming costumes and stuff.
Oh, wow.
I was thinking, how did they get to the other side there? And I was like, oh, they swam. They literally swam across.
That's not look like a
it doesn't look like
swimming hole, though.
No, it did at the time. It was kind of wonderful. Look at it now. You think, really? It does look a little bit sewagey, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But at that time, yeah, it looked like from an old film. It looked like a European art house film. Can you think of a European art house film when they swim in the river?
Nah. I only like the new Jumanji films. That's the only films I've seen.
Yeah, they go to the river.
Yeah.
Do you think if we go in there, we'll swap personalities? Oh, plot spoiler. Cheap element of the plot spoiler.
Such a lovely elevation to the plot, I thought.
Oh, good.
Lovely twists.
They're mixing it up.
Yeah.
Those are great films.
Really good.
I thought the second one was a bit sequel-y, but in a good way. They kind of did all their good ideas.
Yeah.
Which made it slightly unfocused.
Oh, I mean, it's just, you know.
But they were good ideas.
You don't go to it for a sort of perfect trimmed-down plot, do you?
No.
You just want a bit of fun.
Yeah, yeah. But the other thing we were saying about those films is that they rely on good comic acting to work.
Yeah, for sure.
Which makes a nice change. Even Kevin Hart, who, do you know, thought it was his own... was kind of pretty Kevin Hart in the first one.
Yeah.
Does some lovely acting in the second
He gets
one.
A chance to flex it.
Yeah, yeah. And he does some lovely acting. Hey! 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 Hey!
Here we are, the East End boys.
Hey! Running in the palaces. Two bob for fist foot. I don't know what you're talking about. What was I saying about the... Yeah, so you would, you know, you'd basically be matching that. You should... I'm really badly selling this park run, but you should do it.
No, I think I would like you meaning to.
I think that you should start out, you'll be expecting to do 25. And like you say, you get under 23, and you do it more than once, then you start to... It becomes addictive again because you're running against yourself. And then when I'm touring around, I do park runs wherever I am.
That's great.
Yeah, or rather, I fail to get to park runs 9 times out of 10, wherever I am.
You pay for them and stuff, and then...
No, it's free.
Is it?
Yeah. Free weekly timed. That's the park run crater.
Oh, I see. Yeah. God, I know nothing.
I know! Well, this makes it exciting. I can really lay out the boredom here. It was started in 2000. So... But the other thing about Hackney Marshes is this bit through the woods. It's much further than you think because it waves and wobbles. So if you go straight through, it doesn't seem that far. But it's about a mile through the trees here.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. Thanks so much for showing me this, Rob.
It's very much my pleasure. Thanks for coming out. So sorry that Paul's not here.
We're thinking of you, Paul.
Yeah. Compadre.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
So yeah, that's your running. And you said you were on tour. You're on touring now?
I've sort of finished the UK tour of the last show. I'm doing some dates in Europe.
Which cities?
Now you're asking. I'm doing Oslo.
Nice.
Stavanger.
Ooh, also nice.
Yes. Bergen.
Bergen, good, yeah. I've been to all these ones.
Nice.
It's all making sense to me.
Copenhagen.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah. Antwerp.
Oh, gosh.
Amsterdam.
Yep.
Dublin.
Do you want me to put them back in alphabetical order for
you? Yes, please.
Amsterdam, Antwerp, Dublin, Copenhagen.
Athens, back.
Bergen, I missed out Bergen. Are you really going to Athens?
I am.
Wow, God, nice.
See, it's sort of, I'm only doing like 9 or 10, but... And I'm doing Belfast, which I'm aware should have been part of the UK tour, but just easy to double with Dublin, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And probably, you know, socially nice to just happily skip across that border.
Yeah. Although it'll be all right, won't it?
You might have to skip across the border in the middle of the Irish Sea. I don't know how that's going to work.
But yeah, that'll be a mix of the last show.
You're not supposed to call a mix.
Okay.
on the left here, when you do the park run, the finish is about there.
Yeah.
And you have to run down there and back quite a long way.
Oh, okay, cool.
To make up the numbers. And we're going to go right, straight across.
Lovely.
That might be a bit muddy.
That's fine.
That's all right.
Switch of the terrain.
Yeah, and I've stopped. I've totally stopped. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I was just giving you a little
that's
bit
right.
of a sense of the scene.
Trying to get going again.
Yeah, there's the tennis centre there. It's got a cafe and a toilet.
That's it. Yeah, you don't no need to mention the cafe. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
That is a problem that took me about 6 to 8 months running to solve. Because when I started running, the reason I started running was it was when I was trying to lose weight the first time.
Yeah.
And I'd started going to the gym, but I was on one of those memberships where you can only get in before five and can't do weekends.
Right, off-peak kind of thing.
Yeah, and I was toddling down to the gym and realised it wasn't during my times. So I thought, well, I'll just try going for a run.
Yeah.
And then immediately...
The shake girl.
Discovered why you should always...
Another luxury of running on the treadmill.
You should always empty the cupboard before you go shopping. I don't know what that means.
It's okay. It makes a nice change to drop the kids off at the pool, which has been a feature of... Because I find... Well, let's dig right into this, and that's a very unfortunate phrase. I really need to... my digestion is such that even if I've been, it's not enough.
Yeah,
because probably going to need to go again.
Again, while I was trying to be sort of...
Circumspect.
Slightly delicate. It's not normal business.
Right.
It's not like a... It's not like you would go for a normal toilet.
No.
It's a different breed.
Yeah, it's your body saying, oh, we're running, are we? Yeah. Okay, let's lose ballast.
I used to have a routine about doing it. And what I always thought it was it was like your body's evolved to think if you're running, you're being chased by a predator, and it's to make the predator slip up.
I thought it was because of the fear. I'm so scared of the imaginary predator. and also, just to discuss the predator. Predator's going to come up behind you and say, oh my God!
Oh no!
That's wrong with you!
You have let yourself down.
You've let it all down. So yeah, handy to know where those things are.
Yeah.
This is the two sides of running in North London that we know from the podcast. One, me and Paul know where all the useful toilets you can stop at are.
Yeah.
And two, listeners who know that the podcast is kind of roughly in real time, if they look very carefully at where the adverts fall, they'll notice that they're often quite sudden and often just next to a certain block in the Highgate Woods. Or
and then you sound a lot sort of happier and lighter when
I'll just go la la la. So well done. If you can get round without a drop off, you're beating us basically.
I think I'll be fine. I was on a higher fibre diet back then, which is always a bad idea.
Yeah.
Eating a bowl of Allbrand before a run is not...
Yeah. What's your diet now? What do you do? Are you doing enough weights and stuff that you have to beef up to get in there?
Well, kind of. I mean, a low-carb diet helps me as a type 1 diabetic anyway.
Right.
Because it means I inject less insulin.
Of course, and carbs are essentially unpredictable sugars.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So if I have carbs, I have to inject insulin. The more carbs I have, the more I have to inject, and the more margin for error there is.
Yeah.
So I try and keep it low carb at the moment. But, you know, we're coming out the back end of Christmas.
Yeah, coming out the back end. Yeah. I thought we weren't going to talk about it.
So I think my diet's actually been pretty bad for the last year or so. So now I'm... on a bit of a mission.
Yeah.
So I'm very low carb at the moment, I'd say. Eggs in the morning.
Ultimately, we're looking at that mankini on the wedding day that's really going to hit.
Exactly. I've got it hanging up in the kitchen next to the fridge. So every time I go in there for a chocolate bar, I'm like, no.
And do you, mankini. Edward, may I briefly touch you? Do you, Edward, look at that. Shining there.
Oh, the ring appears to have slipped off your finger.
Let me get that for you. No, actually, you get it. Oh, he's rippling.
So, yeah, you know, I'm trying to be healthy at the moment, but I'm off to America in...
Oh, no, I've heard that all the food there is healthy and the portions are very small.
So I'm basically trying to get rid of a bit of weight before then, because there is absolutely no way I'm not boozing and I'm not eating unhealthily while I'm there.
Yeah, well, the nice thing about... They say, I haven't done much drinking with Americans. It's nice to get to North America and start drinking and just see the awe and amazement in the eyes of people who culturally think of getting hammered as being like having one and a half beers.
Especially in LA, where everyone just seems to go to bed at 9.
Yeah.
That's probably why they look so amazing.
What are you doing out there?
So, I do a podcast with James Acas.
Oh, yeah. When you mentioned me, it must be a huge and successful podcast, because when you mentioned me, everyone I've ever known got in touch.
Oh, really?
I was considered a fan. I'd say mentioned. I wasn't on.
Yeah.
I just came up in conversation, and that's easily the most highest profile gig I've had in the last 3 years.
Well,
so thanks so much.
No worries. We'll mention you loads. We are going to do a week in New York and a week in LA.
Brilliant.
I'm just trying to interview some American guests.
Yeah.
Just to sort of
spread. And that's the off-menu podcast.
It's off-menu podcast, indeed. Yeah.
Which is gone. You do the pitch.
Well, it's we interview a guest about their dream meal, essentially.
Yeah.
Oh. And James is a genie waiter. But you don't really need to know that bit. Sort of gets dispensed with very quickly every episode. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And essentially, we're going to America for 2 weeks. I think if we couldn't book any guests, we'd also be fine with that.
Yeah, of course. Oh, that's going to be excellent.
But yeah, the diet's all going to go to pot then.
Of course. Well, it's like the training, isn't it? You've got to... We ran with this guy last week, Gavin Evans, who's a really fierce, fast runner.
Yeah.
And so obviously, his training schedule, like, at a glance, is really intense and kind of, you know, more mileage than you or I would ever do for a marathon, and so on and so forth. But to hear him talk about it, he had a brilliantly relaxed attitude. You know, it's like, if it doesn't happen because I'm busy or because of family stuff or because I'm injured, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't go, oh no, I fell off the wagon. And you have to, ultimately, your training's got to fit in with your real life, hasn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Even if your real life is specifically rotating around eating burgers, catching planes and getting pissed up.
It's very, it's rough on the old mental health as well if you start subjecting yourself to...
Yeah, rules.
Yeah.
So basically introducing the concept of failure.
Yeah.
There's no such
thing. No one's, not like your job.
Yeah. Like,
no one's sort of telling you failed, it's just yourself.
Yeah.
But
and that is a real danger with the intensity of this stuff. Because we all work towards a bar, you know, the body shape we want, or the marathon we're training for, or a level of fitness, and the bar is fictional.
Yeah. And yeah, you're completely self-invented.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it to myself this week. I've been trying to go to the gym every day.
Yeah.
And do something, which is, you know, that's something that I've put on myself.
When you say do something, you don't mean you're chased by a predator.
Yeah.
No, you can just do that at home.
You know, even if it's just go for a shower. And I didn't
or just hang around in the dressing room with less clothes on than most people. Just practicing on your confidence. Yep, that's me drying myself.
I didn't go yesterday because I do a radio show at 8 till 11 on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
And obviously when I got back from that, I was like, absolutely not. I was like, oh, you let yourself down. Then I remembered I'd been 5 times this week.
Yeah.
It's all right to have a rest, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And that thing that, that let yourself down is the one to really watch. And I think what you said about that's the way to do a marathon as well. It's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
So for your own sake, you want to stick to your training schedule and stick to your plan.
Yeah.
But you've got to remember that you're doing that as a way of being good to yourself, not being hard on
yourself.
Totally. And then if you fail, you'll at least know why you did.
Yeah.
And actually, I should use a different word than fail.
Yes.
If that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Then at least you'll know you did what you could and you worked with what you've got.
This is like a podcast recording obstacle course now.
I hope that this person doesn't hack my leg off, but I can't be entirely sure.
Morning.
Oh, sawdust in the eye.
Yeah.
It's funny because I always think it's so lovely that people live in the canal boats.
Yeah.
But they do, when it's cold, it's just so smoky along here.
I've known a couple of people who've lived on canal boats, and winter sounds like an absolute nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
My friend Matt used to have to basically sleep fully clothed with 3 jumpers on.
Yeah. Me and my family went camping in April in the East Holidays once. And when we're chatting to friends, they say, oh, you're brave. And we kept thinking, not brave, stupid, didn't think it through. Just saw school holidays and thought, oh, camping. And everyone's like, no, because you think like London Marathon, that's like, if it's warm, it's like one of the first warm days of the year.
Yeah.
And anyway, we're in this lovely campsite we've been to previously, sort of halcyon late August adventures in the woods. And we went there in April, it was dark. Yeah. Tried to make a hot meal on a little table. The whole thing went over.
Oh, God.
Poured soup into the tent. So we just put all our clothes on, poured ourselves into our sleeping bags. Three of the four of us just lay shivering, trying to close up gaps, waiting for morning. And then Casey, hoping the others would sleep, but checking in with each other.
Yeah.
And in the end, we had to go and wake my daughter up in case she'd fall into a hypothermic coma.
Oh, God.
So even the one who was sleeping well and warm enough got a disturbed night's sleep.
I don't think I'll ever camp again. Not just after that story, but generally anyway.
Well, you're at a point in life now where if you do go to a music festival, you can hire an Airstream.
Yeah, or, which is my normal way of doing things, just get a hotel. Just get a hotel near to the site. There's nothing better.
That is not nearly as sexy as getting an Airstream.
Oh, I know, but you look sexier the next day. There's no better feeling than leaving a festival, going back to a hotel room,
yeah,
and then coming back the next day all refreshed.
Yeah.
I did that with Download Festival last year.
Ah, oh, I haven't been to Download for a couple of years. That's your scene, isn't it?
That's my scene, but it was my first time at Download. So I've never been able to do the gig before, but I had it free, so I went and did the gigs on the Wednesday and Thursday, and then stayed for the whole weekend. It was brilliant.
Download is a rock festival in the Midlands, and
rock
they do
and metal.
The comedy gig. Is, sorry, metal.
Thank you.
And, the gig is, like all good comedy gigs at music festivals, it's kind of for the people who are there a week and people settling in. Like some of the Green Man gigs are like that, aren't they? They put them up front.
Exactly, yeah. And those are the two nicest ones I can think of, Green Man and Download.
Yeah, they changed the promoter at Download, and before that I was always... it was just a feature in my calendar every year. And to do what I do at all my gigs, which is dust off a bit of classic rock.
Yes.
In front of that audience.
Yeah, I bet that went down a storm.
Oh, God, I'm Angus Young. This is incredible. Really spectacular. And then, if you blend that with a few songs that they despise, in a fun way.
Yeah, they love Burning,
oh,
don't they?
It's great. Good times. So who was on? Who did you? Never mind your performance. What, did you get to see any of your favourite bands?
Slipknot.
Ah. Oh. Of course, these days they all wear suits and they've got their faces out.
One of my favourite bands of all time. I'm actually seeing them.
Oh, that's that dog.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually seeing them next week. I'm very excited about that. Tool. Tool, one of my favourites as well. They were on.
Good, good.
The last ever UK performance of Slayer.
What last? Slayer wrapped it up.
Slayer have wrapped it up.
Oh, my goodness.
They're done. So that was exciting. Yeah, loads.
Yeah.
But I just got very, Korn? Very drunk. Korn were not on last year, they're on this year.
Are you going to see them?
Yeah.
I'm just testing my knowledge here, really.
There's a big sort of 90s alternative new metal contingent, so...
Good pronunciation there, I can hear the N.
New, thank you.
New.
I know my stuff.
As you say that, or that's also how you say now if you're posh Scottish.
No.
I'm listening to some new. Metal. New. See where we are, you see? We come up the canal, and now this is Walthamstow Marshes again.
Oh, yeah.
And if we go left here, bring us back. All these are good, but it's no good at this time of year because it's a marsh.
Yeah.
So, you know. But this is great.
See, the problem is, though, just because I've been chatting to you, I've not been concentrating on which way to go. Yeah. So I'll probably never be able to replicate this.
Oh, it's pretty straightforward. That bit, when we stopped and turned right, I kind of stopped and talked about it for 10 minutes. So
no, trust me, I have no sense of direction. So where I used to live, like basically next to Putney Bridge, could go down the Thames and then just turn around and come back again.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, there's no way you can mess that up.
Which is excellent, because it's different both ways.
Yeah.
It's all flat.
So I could, you know, and when it got to long training runs, you just... run for 11 miles, turn around, run back again.
Long training runs are particularly good for that because the point at which you turn back, you're only halfway through the run. Right?
Yes.
So you're not all broken.
Yeah.
And say you've got to run, you run 13 and you've got to run 16.
Yeah.
When you go out, you don't get to 13 and think, oh, here we go.
No.
You get to 7 and think, oh, a bit further.
Yeah.
You get to 8, oh, I turn back now. And then that's only when you get to 14, you're like, well, I want to die now, but the easiest way home is to run this last 2 miles. Beware, cattle grid.
Do you think, training for a marathon, do you think you could get away with it by just doing the long runs?
No, I think that I read something, it was Kate Carter who's been on the show, saying lots of people get into, it was like a New Year article about getting into running, training for a marathon from scratch.
Yeah.
And I think that she said something, you know, quite sort of, what's the word, it was information-based, but it was quite sort of chatty. But she made an excellent point, which I thought rang true, which is that it's great to get your long runs in. They're really important.
Yeah.
But your body wants to get used to doing loads of running. So that if you had to miss out either long runs or doing lots of runs, you should do miss out the long runs.
Okay, just to build it up.
So you're kind of staying warmed up and staying warmed up.
That makes sense. Yeah, because I think when I did the marathon first, I was probably running 30 miles a week anyway.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a bit, running a marathon from scratch. I can't imagine trying to train for a marathon when I didn't run, if you know what
yeah,
I mean.
It's a long way, it's a long mountain to climb. Yeah. Basically, if you're a regular runner, you're kind of at base camp, aren't you?
Whereas yeah.
If you're starting from scratch. But on the other hand, it's a good time frame.
Yeah.
You know, the London Marathon with the 4 month lead in. Because you really could do that from, particularly as at the other end of that, you get to be. You have to be realistic about what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
You know, if you then say, I'm going to be walk running the marathon, it's going to take me 6.5 hours. You've still got time to work out the shape of that, how it's going to work. You know, so it suits any status of fitness. But like you say, it's good to have. I mean, the optimum is to be running regularly. And, you know, I would say that if you're running 20 miles a week or 22 miles a week,
yeah,
you want to nudge that to being 25, 30 miles a week. And then as part of that, but also separately to that, a regular chance of long runs.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people run long every single weekend, but I don't. I run long every couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Which maybe isn't quite enough. I mean, I can't come up against the last 6 miles of a marathon being very, very hard. But surely that's true for everyone.
Yeah, it must be. Because if you're running it, if you're running for time as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to be knackered by
that
point.
And you just can't help but go faster on the day. You know, I could be at a fitness where I could go out and run 26 miles and feel okay. And then I go out and do a marathon and run the first 10 miles as if I'm at a park run.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, that last 6 miles is really going to cost me everything. The thing I had with my last marathon is when I slowed down loads.
Yeah.
I was just trying to not fade off quite so dramatically. Because I was feeling fine, you know, I was tired.
But you could see
I was still
ahead
running, nothing
were,
was hurting, yeah. I was going to get there. But my, I just lost the ability to run at any speed. So it wasn't much different to if I'd been all miserable and started walking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is also a good thing. Again, it wasn't, there was no sense of failure there, basically.
The one thing I struggled with the last time I ran the London Marathon, when you guys were recording it,
yeah,
was I'd not started from the quote-unquote celebrity bit before.
Oh, yeah.
And because you're basically, the elites go,
yep,
and then it's you, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. So that feels weird because it doesn't feel like a proper start.
Yes.
Because they literally just go, all right, off you go.
Yeah, and you're not on the start line.
No.
You kind of mooch out of the tent with no one really telling you what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I turned around to Amelie Maresmo.
She was...
I said, what's going on? She's like, I don't know.
And then you've got to watch, you've got to watch the really in shape celebrities go off like a fucking rocket.
Yes.
Like, it's just
the Jensen Button factor.
Nell McAndrew disappear off into the horizon.
Yeah, yeah.
And then from behind you, all the running clubs have started.
Yeah, yeah.
And they
are also faster than us.
You know, they're not pushing you out the way, but they're not moving for you.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and they're all, as far as I could work out, having seen a lot of them stream past me, the majority of running clubs seem to be sort of very in shape, but big, bald men in their early 40s with tribal tattoos on their legs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
No, it's a really tough start, but the other thing about that is how non-specific it is.
Yeah.
Because it's like, for me, it's like a marathon stress dream, but there we are. Hey, hello. I had a marathon stress dream last night. I dreamt I was doing a marathon, and I was like, oh, I don't seem to have a running number. I'm sure they can work out who I am. Oh, is this the right way? And I followed a bunch of people and they went down an escalator. It was an up escalator. So running, jumping, trying to beat the up escalator. Went down another staircase. Got a bit of speed up. Oh, this is good. This is working. I went round the corner and I fell over a kind of low wall into this big white sort of temporary wall. Yeah. And it was the back of the Marathon Expo. And you could hear all the music and announcements. And then I bulked into like this huge Citizen Kane backdrop. And it went boom. And everyone at the expo was going, oh, what's happening?
Oh, man.
Luckily, that was snuck away. And they didn't know it was me.
What's great about that is a lot of times dreams things might happen in dreams and they're about something else. That seems to have no subtext whatsoever.
Yeah, there's some pretty literal.
That's just a marathon stress dream.
I think that, I don't know whether it's to do with getting the underground or whatever, but whenever I'm stress dreaming, it's always escalators and shopping centres. I think I've got it at the back of my mind. I'm paranoid that marathon route planners have got some terrible ideas. I know, there's been a lot of talk recently about the Milton Keynes Marathon.
Oh, really?
And I think I've got it in my head that actually goes through the shopping mall. Which I think is unwise.
Yeah.
I mean, particularly if it's raining, it's going to be slippery, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a good idea. And then there's going to be so many temptations.
Yeah. That's right, I'm just going to pop into Dunkin' Donuts.
He's going to Paper Chase.
Big bunch of kids. I think I've got time for a Wagamama. I did have one. Things from real marathons that feel like stress dreams. That celebrity start is one. And another one is when I was feeling really weak. It was about 70 miles and I missed my family. Not like, oh, I wish I could see them, as in ran straight past them.
Oh, no.
So then I stopped and phoned them up. Stand on the pavement in Docklands on the phone thinking, this is not a dream marathon. This does not, that's not how that goes. So we're about full circle now.
Amazing. What a lovely run.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we had the condition for it. You might change your mind and do the marathon.
I can't see that happening because it is the day after my wedding.
I was going to say, this sounds like it'd be a fun weekend. You just do that the next day.
Get absolutely hammered at my wedding and then...
Yeah, or no. Stay sober at your wedding and then go to bed at 8:15.
Yeah.
Sorry, hey, darling.
Night, guys.
What are we having for the wedding meal? Pasta. Lots of pasta. And no complicated flavours.
Although last year I was on tour. I was in Cardiff the night before the marathon.
Yeah.
Which was awful. You're just rushing through the show.
Yep.
And then getting in the car. I had a tour manager, luckily.
Were you driving? Someone else driving?
Someone else driving, so I just tried to get some sleep on the way back. Then there was traffic. You know, you end up only getting to bed at 1:30.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
Not a good idea. But having said that, the only good thing about that is it's always worth trying to rest up for it before it, because you get stressed out anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so... But funnily enough, I have exactly the same thing for Manchester and then Cardiff the first weekend of April. And I'm doing Manchester the night before. I mean, the day after. I don't know. We were going down the bridge and I forgot what the hell.
Here we are.
It's good, isn't it?
That's really nice.
Let's get me and you in Coppermill Fields to wrap this up. Let's look all nonchalant now. Oh, and then I can get the... This time of year, it's just condensation, those Coppermill Fields. Good. I mean, let's go and listen to some Corn with a K.
And backwards R, please.
Nice. Sorry. I should have had that. A bit like Murtyrhead.
Murtyrhead.
Murtyrhead. Oh, we were laughing yesterday. Just an internet thing, but my wife found a thing with misused speech marks.
Yeah.
Little Timmy's going for a ride with Officer Wilkinson. It's really good. Anyway, thank you for this.
Thank you for having me. It was really lovely.
What's the one go-to? You've got to tell people how to do the marathon because you know, because you've done it twice.
Well, I actually think what we were talking about with the training is good. That do it to the best of your ability, but if you can't do some of it, don't beat the crap out of yourself.
Yeah, and that's ultimately psychological training for the day. You want to be exactly like that.
And it's really fun.
It's great.
Just remember, if you're not a professional runner, you're not a professional runner. Just enjoy it.
And London in particular is for that. You know, there's a bunch of professional runners there. Good luck to them. But it's really for someone dressed as a I don't know. I can't think of anything.
I was overtaken by a padlock the first time I did it.
There you go. Yeah, there was a really good Game of Thrones, someone who was all like in a black cloak and a long black wig that I got a photo of last time. It's really good. It's not as good as a padlock there. I did get cross. Again, I think listeners probably might remember this, but I got the reason that the first time I got under 3.5 hours is because I was overtaken by a spaceman with about 300 metres to go. And I was like, I'm not having that. Me and Armstrong going at
He
it.
Doesn't even know gravity to fight against.
That's right. He was just in those long jumps. Boring. Damn you. Thank you for this.
Thank you, Rob.
And happy running. Have a lovely wedding.
Thank you very much. And have a lovely marathon.
Thanks.
Think of me.
I will.
Extremely hungover.
Not doing it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.